morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today is December 30th, 2025. And we're so back after yesterday's brutal sell-off in silver. And it was brutal. Good God. Luckily, it was brutally selling off from a very elevated level. Well, we're back this morning. Silver is up. So let's talk about what we've seen in the last 48 hours or so. We have seen silver go as high as just under $84, slammed all the way down to less than $71. I think we bottomed around $70.50 yesterday. Now we are back. We are up 6 to 8% this morning, trading back above 76. And, you know, there's a pretty good picture going around on Twitter of Michael Jordan at various iterations of $75 silver. You get the idea here, guys. You know, as rough as that was yesterday to watch, and, you know, everybody was out there saying Mr. Slammy has arrived, oh, we're back to manipulation. You know, think about it. We're higher than we've been ever, with the exception of about a few hours on Sunday night, maybe into Friday. We've never been higher than this. So, you know, it's easy to get excited and to get dejected when you're seeing silver sell off more than $10. And look, a $13 trading range yesterday, that was tough to watch. Well, let's try to keep it in perspective and where we're at. I mean, gold is also doing good this morning, up about $50 after selling off more than $200 yesterday, currently trading around $4,400 an ounce. Platinum is up more than 5% after that brutal sell off yesterday in platinum and palladium. The PGM metals were selling off with it. Now, the question now is this just a dead cat bounce? Are we going to resume lower, or are we resuming this epic rally? I don't know yet. And you know, that's kind of the theme, guys. That was really the theme of the show yesterday, is I don't know. I can tell you like what I'm observing in the data, but as far as what's causing these specific actions and where we go from here, it's guesswork at this point. But it looks like the market, at least as of right now, it looks like the market has digested that margin increase that the CME group put in place late Friday, effective Monday morning. It did cause some forced selling and some liquidation. It was brutal, but it looks to be behind us. And right now, metal is resuming higher here. Also, the backwardation has come back. We're about 40 cents deep into backwardation the last I looked. So indicative of physical shortages developing in London again. Still that weird phenomenon yesterday where we saw that big gap in backwardation open up and then slam shut and disappear just as quick as it appeared. That's still very unusual. I still don't have answers for what that was. Maybe somebody out there can fill me in on what was happening there. But for now, backwardation coming back a little bit. Also interesting, the physical market. People have gone nuts for silver. A lot of the stacking channels that I follow, some anecdata that has come in from viewers, the coin shops are getting bombarded by people who are buying silver. What I think happened is everybody went home for Christmas, talked to their relatives. The weird uncle who bought gold and silver years ago and everybody made fun of him is now at the table, you know, sipping Courvoisier with his pinky up in the air because he's now the rich guy in the family. Everybody else heard that, and then they got home and they went out and bought silver first thing Monday morning. The coin shops were slammed. We saw premiums rise. Premiums on junk silver are going up. I'm hearing about guys that are completely sold out, cleaned out. I was watching Yankee Stacking yesterday. Tim's shop, the coin and currency shop up there, and I think it's in New Hampshire. And people lined up out the door. So people didn't want to buy silver at 40. They didn't want to buy at 50. They didn't want to buy at 60. But apparently they want to buy at 70. It's just a wild time to watch here, guys. Also going on this morning, we've got some geopolitical developments going on. Venezuela has taken steps to curtail crude oil production. Now, this is pretty important. They are looking to cut production by about 25% in their Orinoco Belt, which is a region that produces some of the really heavy crude, some of the really thick stuff. Apparently, this 25% curtailment of this one particular region represents about 15% of Venezuela's total oil output, which is about 1.1 million barrels per day. It's about 1% of global oil production in Venezuela. So this is a significant curtailment of Venezuela's oil production. It's obviously being driven by the U.S. blockade, The storage is starting to fill up. The Venezuelans are having trouble getting it loaded on the boats. Never really did get a closure on that one tanker that was ordered to stop and be boarded. And they said, no, we don't want to be boarded. And they sailed away and the Navy followed them. Never really did hear what was going to happen there. But for whatever reason, the Venezuelans now curtailing their production. And that's obviously going to put more economic pressure on the Maduro regime. But you have to wonder, with everything Venezuela has been through, is a 15% curtailment of oil production really going to be the straw that breaks that camel's back? I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do to Venezuela that hasn't already been done to them economically? It's hard to imagine at this point. But also, we've now got drone strikes on land targets. We had confirmation yesterday that somewhere in Venezuela, some dock or some staging facility, they didn't get into the specifics on what was hit, but it was a land target, the place where they stage the drug boats. So an incremental escalation here, right? First we blow up the drug boats, and then we seize the oil tankers. Now we're blowing up the boats when they're tied up at the dock, and oh, we blew up the dock along with it. Well, now we're striking targets on land. Is it a war yet? Are we calling it that yet? No, it's not a war yet. Okay, it is what it is. We're blowing stuff up, and we're getting closer and closer to where the people live, where we're blowing stuff up. And that's just the Venezuela story. We've also got the whole, like, Taiwan, the China drills around Taiwan that have effectively blockaded Taiwan, at least for this period of time while the drills are going on. And now we've got the Saudis are shooting at the Emiratis. What the hell? We had the UAE sent a boat full of weapons to Yemen. Yemen obviously been a hotbed of activity since the Red Sea crisis. You've got the Houthi rebels and then the Yemeni government. But now there's this third player in Yemen, the Southern Transitional Council, which is a separatist group, not the Houthis and not the Yemeni government. This other group that the UAE has now decided they're going to support them. The UAE was going to send them a boat full of weapons. And Saudi Arabia blew it up. Saudi Arabia and the UAE are allies, ostensibly. They're frenemies. I don't know what the word is, but they tend to be the two countries that are aligned opposite Iran, who has been backing the Houthis in Yemen. So when allies Saudi Arabia and the UAE are kind of shooting at each other through proxies, you got to wonder what's going on in that region. So a little bit of geopolitical instability, especially around oil this morning, and oil markets just do not care. The price of oil was up about 30 cents a barrel. I don't think oil markets really appreciate what has developed in the last 24 hours or so, but that's something to keep an eye on. We've got Tesla is out this morning. Tesla has released estimates on their website for vehicle deliveries for 2025, and they're not good. They're down 15% year over year, a second consecutive year of declines for Tesla in vehicle deliveries. Hey, Tesla, aren't you a car company, and aren't you a growth car company? I mean, you're valued at, what do we got here, 312 times earnings, a PE of 312, a PEG ratio of more than 9. If you're a growth company, maybe you should grow. I just throw them out there. You guys do what you want. Or, you know, just say some more shit about robots and robo-taxis, things that you don't even sell, that don't even generate any revenue now. It's just a black hole that you pour money into. Tesla is not a company, guys. Tesla's a cult. Yes, they make really nice cars and they do really cool things, but math matters. And Tesla is priced as if they are taking over the entire automotive world. They're not. They're shrinking. And they're telling stories about Optimus Prime and about Johnny Cab, neither of which are anywhere near ready for mass market. I don't know what the heck is going on with Tesla, but somehow they're up year to date. Explain that one to me. We've also got Meta is buying Manus. That Manus is a Singaporean agentic AI company. Interesting, they were spun off from a Chinese company. Now Meta is buying them for $2 billion. I thought Meta was developing its own in-house AI model and its agentic AI. Why are they buying this other one from Singapore? What has Meta done with all of the money that they have spent on AI? And it has been absolutely brutal, the amount of money that they have incinerated over at Meta. What have they actually accomplished with all that capital incineration? And if they did accomplish so much, why are they off buying this other company for $2 billion? It's almost like they have no idea how they're ever going to make any money with this. And they're just like, whatever, dude, throw more money at the problem and hope for the best. And speaking of throwing money at the problem, Caterpillar. This is a crazy story in the Wall Street Journal. Caterpillar's having a great year, not because of bulldozers and excavators, the big maker of construction equipment. That's not why they're having such a good year. They're having such a good year because they're selling generators, big old diesel and natural gas engines that turn a turbine and make electricity. Why? Because the people who told you that you need to ride roller skates to work and give up your plastic straws for the planet are now burning so much dirt to power their stupid chatbots and their data centers that the grid can't keep up with it. So Caterpillar is selling a ton of generators and engines, part of the AI story. Interesting. And it's amazing how all these climate concerns just go up in smoke whenever we're talking about powering GPUs that produce AI slops. Suddenly, nobody really cares about the planet. It's only when you need to get to work or when you need to heat your home that they care about the planet. When it's running their chatbots, oh, no, that's different. We're going to cure cancer and we're going to solve physics with all that, even though all they seem to put out is AI slop. And last but not least, we've got Eurostar. There's a problem with the trains in the Channel Tunnel. Not a lot of details. Apparently, a train failed. I don't know if that means it got stuck. But they're telling people, cancel your plans to traverse the channel via the tunnel. Problem in the tunnel here. Keep an eye on that one. Guys, we got a lot going on this morning. How about we shrink my big melon of a head? Let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button. And the new guys, hit the subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every single day. Right now, the S&P 500 is going a whole bunch of nowhere, down just a half of 1 point, essentially unchanged on the morning. The Dow is also going nowhere, down 6 points, 0.01% lower. And the NASDAQ is also going nowhere, down 14 points or 0.05%. Everybody just seems to have taken the day off. What's going on besides nothing? The Dixie, meanwhile, is a little bit stronger this morning, 14 basis points higher, 98.15 for the U.S. dollar. That's going to put some downward pressure on stocks and metals alike. I don't know if it's going to be enough to move them lower. Meanwhile, looking at the bond market, we've got a mixed bag here. The 30-year yield is at 4.815%. That is up by 1 point. The 10-year yield, 4.134. That is up by almost 2 points. The 2-year yield, 3.465, unchanged for the morning. And the 1 month is at 3.599, down a fraction of a point. Not a lot happening in bonds either. Looking over at Bitcoin, we are marginally higher than yesterday, $87,922 as priced on Coinbase. Bitcoin remains range-bound. I expect a breakdown in Bitcoin's price any day now. Looking over at the commodities board, that's where the action is this morning. Stocks are quiet, bonds are quiet, Bitcoin's quiet, everything's quiet except the metals. Spot gold, $43.84. That is up $53.5, 1.25% higher after selling off almost $200 yesterday. February gold futures are just above $4,400, up $57.90, or 1.3% higher. Spot silver has recaptured $76 after going as low as $70.50 yesterday. $76.06, up another $3.90, or 5.44%. March COMEX futures, $75.79, up $5.33, 7.5% higher. Also, interestingly here, we have got London, the spot price, $76.05. That is about 30, almost 40 cents higher than the March COMEX price in New York. So we are in backwardation, where silver right now is a little bit more expensive than silver later, indicative of a shortage. Either way, I like the shiny. We'll look at the charts in just a minute. Copper up 3%. Platinum and palladium also bouncing this morning. Platinum's up 5.2%. Palladium is up 2%. And crude oil kind of shrugging off all these geopolitical stories, up 33 cents, $58.41 a barrel for February WTI futures. That's up about 0.2%. Let's take a look at the metal charts while we're here. And man, we got some messy candles. These are daily candles right here. And you can see volatility is the name of the game for the last few days here, but still just hovering around $76 a barrel. Let's set this to hourly candles. We kind of get a better idea. All right, here is that brutal sell-off that we saw yesterday. We bottomed out as low as, what did we hit? A low of $70.52 yesterday. Now we are grinding our way higher. Is it a dead cat or a continuation of the rally? Guys, we just got to wait and see. But Mr. MJ here is said it best. Shout out to Gold Silver HQ, who posted this one on X. You got $75 silver on Friday, $75 silver on Monday, and $75 silver on Tuesday. Kind of went through the whole emotional spectrum with that one. Gold, meanwhile, doing about the same. Again, big sell-off in gold yesterday. You can see that daily candle's pretty ugly, over $200. Bouncing by about 50 bucks today. One important thing to note, these are all daily candles on the gold chart, is check this one out. It looks like this trend, if we, you know, we're just going to kind of draw that one right there. Oh, come on. Give me my gold trend line. We'll go from the bottom of the candles here. It looks like we bounced right about where we should. The uptrend in gold appears to be intact despite that big sell-off yesterday. And the gold to silver ratio is falling again this morning, 57.76. That's after hitting a high yesterday of 60, almost 61, amid a low yesterday of 54.3. So silver outperforming gold this morning. It's been a heck of a day, heck of a couple of days in metals here, guys. All right, let's talk about the geopolitical shitstorm that's going on this morning, for lack of a better word. Venezuela starts shutting oil wells as U.S. blockade halts flows. This one just this morning, or just late yesterday afternoon, I should say. Venezuela starting shutting wells in a region that holds the world's largest deposits of oil in the face of a blockade by the Trump administration meant to financially squeeze the nation. Petróleos de Venezuela began shutting wells in the Orinoco Belt on December 28th as the state-run refiner ran out of storage space and inventory swelled, according to two people familiar with the matter who asked not to be identified discussing internal matters. PDVSA aims to reduce Orinoco Belt production by at least 25% to 500,000 barrels per day, the people said. The decrease represents a 15% cut of Venezuela's overall output of 1.1 million barrels per day. The decision signals a reality check for Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who throughout the blockade has attempted to maintain exports that are at the core of the South American country's economy. Disabling wells is seen as a last resort because of the operational challenges and the high cost to restart, one of the people said. So the blockade is having the desired effect on the Venezuelan oil industry. Is it putting pressure on the Maduro regime? We just don't know yet. But also the conflict is escalating. This one in Reuters dated this morning, U.S. strikes drug boat loading facility in Venezuela, Trump says. This one was based on a press conference yesterday. President Donald Trump said on Monday that the U.S. had hit an area in Venezuela where boats are loaded with drugs, marking the first known time Washington has carried out land operations in Venezuela since a pressure campaign began against President Nicolas Maduro's government. There was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats with the drugs, Trump said. We hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement, and that is no longer around. So, yes, thank you for that detailed explanation that the implementation area is the area where they implement. Okay, he is a skilled orator, folks, isn't he? It was not immediately clear what target was hit, nor which part of the U.S. government acted. Asked if the CIA had carried out the attack, Trump said, "I don't want to say that. I know exactly who it was, but I don't want to say who it was. Tell me it was the CIA without telling me it was the CIA. CNN, citing sources, reported on Monday that the CIA had carried out a drone strike earlier this month on a port facility on the coast of Venezuela. The strike targeted a remote dock that the U.S. believed was being used by the Venezuelan gang Tren de Agua to store drugs and move them onto boats for onward shipping, according to CNN. Trump has previously said that he has authorized the CIA to carry out covert operations in Venezuela. So strikes on land targets now, that is an escalation, even as the Venezuelans are curtailing their oil production. It's that slow drip in that conflict continues to escalate. Even as that is happening, we've got a new one is brewing here. Saudi Arabia bombs Yemen port over weapons shipment from the UAE and issues a warning to Abu Dhabi. Guys, you're supposed to be friends. What's going on here? Saudi Arabia bombed Yemen's port city of Mukalla on Tuesday after a weapons shipment from the UAE arrived for separatist forces in the war-torn country and warned that it viewed Emirati actions as extremely dangerous. The bombing followed days of tensions over the advance of the separatist forces known as the Southern Transitional Council, which are backed by the Emiratis. Despite the warning, the council and its allies issued a statement supporting the UAE's presence, even as others allied with Saudi Arabia demanded Emirati forces withdraw from Yemen in 24 hours' time. That's important to remember here, guys. You had the Yemeni government that was backed by the Saudis, and then you had these Houthi rebels who have taken over huge swaths of Yemen, right? They've been bombing the ships in the Red Sea. Well, the Saudis, and I thought the UAE had been supporting the Yemeni government, but now you have this third player, this Southern Transitional Council, and it looks like the UAE was sending weapons to them. The Saudis blew them up. I don't know what the heck is going on in this country now, but Yemen is quickly becoming the next Syria with a multifaceted three-way war. It also further strained ties between Saudi Arabia and the UAE, neighboring nations on the Arabian Peninsula that increasingly have competed over economic issues and the region's politics, particularly the wider Red Sea region. And again, Saudi Arabia and the UAE have kind of been a united front against Iranian influence in the region. So if we see an escalation in conflict between those two, that could make a mess. All right, shifting gears, we've got Tesla compiles downbeat average estimates for its vehicle sales. Not good here. A growth company is supposed to be growing. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. Tesla published a compilation of analyst estimates for vehicle deliveries to its website, and the averages for the current quarter are more pessimistic than those gathered by Bloomberg. By Tesla's count, analysts on average expect the company to deliver 422,850 cars in the fourth quarter. That is down 15% from a year earlier. That compares with Bloomberg's compiled average of 445,061, a 10% drop. While Tesla's investor relations team has compiled average delivery estimates for years, the company hasn't shared the figures on its investor relations page in the past. The carmaker is on course for its second consecutive decline in annual vehicle sales, having compiled an average estimate for 1.6 million deliveries, down more than 8% from a year earlier. Tesla's sales plunged early in the year as the company retooled production lines at each of its assembly plants for the redesigned Model Y, its most popular vehicle. That period also coincided with CEO Elon Musk playing a polarizing role in the Trump administration. Deliveries jumped to a record in the third quarter when U.S. consumers rushed to buy electric vehicles before the $7,500 federal tax credits ceased at the end of September. Tesla partially offset the loss of those incentives at the beginning of the current quarter by rolling out a stripped-down version of the Model Y sport utility vehicle and Model 3 sedan, each priced at under $40,000. Look, Tesla's car sales are not looking good here. Tesla is a car company. Despite all the BS about AI and robots and robo-taxis, Tesla's a car company. Car companies are supposed to sell cars. Growth car companies are supposed to sell more cars. Tesla is not selling more cars. They're selling less cars. And yet somehow this stock is up 13.8% year to date on what? I have no idea. Elon tells a good story, man. That's all I can tell you. They're not going to be selling humanoid robots anytime soon. They're not going to be selling robo-taxis anytime soon. I get it. Self-drive is cool. The cars are good, but they are selling fewer of them. And they trade at a PE of 312. That is grotesquely overvalued. But guys, you know, using traditional metrics and valuation and, I don't know, reason to describe Tesla stock has always been a fool's errand. So that's why I never touch this one. Tesla's going to do what Tesla's going to do. Meanwhile, Meta to acquire Manus in a $2 billion bet on AI agents. Another $2 billion going up in smoke over at Meta, apparently. Meta Platforms has agreed to buy Manus, a popular Singapore-based artificial intelligence agent with Chinese roots, in an effort to build a business around its massive AI investment. The deal values Manus at more than $2 billion, according to people familiar with the matter. It marks a rare U.S. acquisition of an Asian tech company and the latest multi-billion dollar AI bet from Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg. The agreement was struck in about 10 days, the people said, asking not to be identified. Meta intends to continue operating and selling the Manus service while also integrating it into its products, it said in a statement. Backed by some of China's biggest names like Tencent, Zenfone, and HSG, Manus shot to prominence early this year, not long after DeepSeek's debut, All of its existing investors have been bought out in Meta's takeover, one of the people said. Meta is very clear to say here that they're kind of pushing out the Chinese interests. There will be no continuing Chinese ownership interest in Manus following the transaction, and Manus AI will discontinue its services and operations in China, a Meta spokesperson said. Manus's parent company, Butterfly Effect, was founded in China before moving to Singapore. Zuckerberg has made AI his company's top priority and is spending billions to hire researchers, build data centers, and develop new models. Manus had an annual revenue run rate of $125 million earlier this year from selling its AI agent to businesses via subscriptions, which could give Meta a more immediate return on some of its AI spending. Manus AI agent can complete a handful of general tasks such as screening resumes, creating trip itineraries, and analyzing stocks in response to basic instructions. Butterfly Effect raised money earlier this year at close to a $500 million valuation in an investment round led by U.S. venture capital firm Benchmark. Not really sure what Meta's hoping to accomplish with this merger here. $2 billion, I guess it's small potatoes compared to what Meta's been burning in CapEx. But what are they getting for all that CapEx if they still need to go out and buy this company in order to generate any kind of revenue from this AI investment? Meta stock down a penny here, not really moving. All right, it's up 20 cents, $658.88 for Meta. Currently up 12.5% year to date. Better start showing some return on those investments soon. 2026 is going to be a brutal year for the AI stocks. Meanwhile, check out this one in Japan. This is kind of scary here. Japan's births predicted to hit lowest level since records began. The total number of births in Japan this year is expected to come in below 670,000. Far fewer than the official forecast put forth by the country's National Institute of Population and Social Security Research, and the lowest since records began in 1899. Japanese folks, you guys, you know, science knows what causes babies, right? We figured that out. You are familiar with the procedure, are you not? Do we need help? The internet is a hell of a place, by the way. Data analyzed by demographic experts suggests that Japan could be on track to record fewer than 670,000 births in 2025, according to the Financial Times. They based their calculations on preliminary data for the first 10 months of the year. This would mark the lowest annual figure since the government began tracking births in 1899. The National Institute of Population and Social Security Research, in forecasts updated in 2023, had expected 749,000 births in 2025. And did not predict a dip below 670,000 until 2041. It's getting worse, and it is accelerating. By comparison, Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare recorded 686,061 births in 2024. That's a 5.7% decline from the previous year, while the number of deaths outnumbered births for the 18th consecutive year, resulting in a net population loss of more than 900,000. Guys, we need to start making babies again. And I tell you, this Keynesian economics, this endless balance sheet expansion and money printing fueling government deficits, that is what is causing this. People cannot afford life. And if they can't afford their own life, they can't afford to create another one. Better solve this problem. You better knock out this stupid Keynesian experiment faster. There's not going to be any of us left. It's also happening in the United States. It's happening in China. It's happening in South Korea. It's actually some of the worst is in South Korea. Really, South America, Africa, and the Middle East, and India. Only places in the world where the population is still growing. Yikes. Meanwhile, Caterpillar's surging stock is fueled by AI, not yellow excavators. This is an interesting one here. We're selling these big honking generators over at Caterpillar to power data centers. An ambitious data center project in Utah is going to need about one quarter of the juice the entire state currently uses, said David Gray, co-chief executive for the project's developer. He knows he can't get it from the electrical grid. One data center project in Utah, a quarter of the state's entire grid. And so they're going to put generators there. Instead, Gray's project plans to make its own electricity by purchasing more than 700 natural gas-fueled generators from Caterpillar. Our electrical grid is constrained in many areas, so we're trying to build power generation on-site, said Gray, whose firm, Jewel Capital Partners, plans to build 6 data centers for the growing AI server market. Caterpillar is very important to us. Power-hungry AI projects like Joule's have become a boon to Caterpillar, which sells engines and generators to a range of customers. For years, the company built much of its $65 billion operation on giant yellow dump trucks, bulldozers, and other mining and construction equipment. But Caterpillar's power and energy business has become its fastest-growing sales segment, helped by surging investments in data centers to support AI projects. It expects this segment to help accelerate annual sales growth by 5 to 7% through 2030, up from 4% average in recent years. Investors have been bullish on the manufacturer's growth prospects, lifting it to become the top performer in the Dow this year. The company is planning its biggest factory spending in about 15 years to capitalize on demand in building AI infrastructure. The Texas company is spending $725 million on its Lafayette, Indiana plant to make more piston-driven engines for generators. Separately, it wants to more than double the production capacity for turbine engines by 2030. Caterpillar stock has had a very good year, up almost 60%, the best performer in the Dow, although it's down about $2 this morning, trading at $576.93. I don't expect this to last pretty long, guys. This silly experiment in data centers is just about over here. I think they're going to expand their factory production just in time for all that demand to disappear. And last but not least, Eurostar trains canceled and delayed due to channel tunnel problems. Not a huge story here, but it's one to watch. We don't really know what happened. Passengers planning to use the channel tunnel on Tuesday are being urged to change their travel plans as a problem with the power supply causes severe disruption. Services have been canceled on the Eurostar passenger service and the Le Shuttle train, which carries cars and freight vehicles between terminals at Folkestone and Calais. Queues of motorists and already forming at Folkestone. While at 7:01 a.m., passenger train that left St. Pancras International this morning has yet to arrive in Paris and is now running 4 hours late. Oh, great, a train stuck in the tunnel. That is what that would suggest. In a notice posted on its website, the Eurostar operator said, due to a problem with the overhead power supply in the channel tunnel and a subsequent failed Le Shuttle train, we strongly advise our passengers to postpone their journey to a different date. Please don't come to the station unless you already have a ticket to travel. A statement from Le Shuttle website said, we are experiencing service disruptions to our service due to an overhead power supply issue. Services are delayed. We are working hard to resolve this. Thank you for your understanding. So hopefully no safety concerns there. But that's one to keep an eye on. Sudden disruption in any kind of major European infrastructure. Can't help but think maybe it's time to put the tinfoil hat on for that one. And I just want to say thank you very much to Mr. Snowman1201, who says, Happy New Year, Jack. A new year full of Melancoin. Ah, yes, Melancoin, taking the world by storm. A very exciting crypto project. Thank you very much, Snowman. Appreciate the well wishes. Happy New Year to you as well, sir. Thank you for being a Melonhead for 11 months. And hey, there's some new melon heads coming right behind, also courtesy of Snowman. Thank you, Snowman, for gifting 20 Nobody Special Finance memberships. Wait, he did it again? 40 Nobody Special Finance memberships from the Snowman? You want to build a snowman? Well, thank you so much. Welcome, you 40 new baby melons to the Melon Patch. Be sure and say thank you to Snowman in the comments. That was very nice of you. And just a reminder, Melonhead members, you get a free super chat every month. Use that. I'll read and respond to your thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, live on the air. Thanks again, Snowman. I really appreciate that. Happy New Year, sir. And okay, we got Mechanical Jesus. Says made it live for once. All right, well, wind up my Mechanical Jesus, and there he is. Thank you so much for the super chat, and I'm glad you were able to make it live. I'm not much of a morning person either, yet I decided to do a morning show. Maybe that wasn't the best career choice for me, but hey, here we are. Glad to see you on the live. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Hunt and Cover, been a melon head for 22 months. Says, have I been here long enough to get a pension? Yeah, an unfunded obligation. Sure, why not? Help yourself to a pension fund. And, you know, our private equity investments in the pension system here at in the People's Republic of Jakistan is doing very well because the private equity firms that we gave all our money, they say it's doing very well. As a matter of fact, they say the net asset value of all their illiquid dog shit and their PE holdings has actually gone up while the rest of the market has sold off. And I believe them because they're private equity fund managers. And we have more private equity firms here in the United States than we have McDonald's now. What's the worst thing that could happen? Thank you very much, Hunt and Cover, for supporting the channel, sir. Mr. M. Rocky? Mr. Aki? Hey, M., what's going on? He says, we live in interesting times. Great show, dude. You know, they ain't always fun, but they're never dull. I can tell you that. Thank you very much, Mr. Rocky, Mr. Rocky, MR. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I'm about as sharp as wet leather this morning, guys. Dave Liberator, 1093, says, Shiny. Shiny, let's be bad guys. Abso-freaking-lutely. What movie? Let me know down in the comments. I like The Shiny, sir. Thank you so much for supporting the channel. Shiny, be having a good day. Let's just make, is he saying look at The Shiny again? Let's just make sure. Did we like blow up again or still hovering around 76 and a half? So no big developments in the last few minutes. But thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate the super chat. Vandalay Industries, where I've always wanted to pretend to be an architect, says, I'm afraid that I don't hear a thing, just silence. Thank you, Mr. Told. Mr. John Told, played by Jeremy Irons. I do believe that is the reference. I don't hear a thing. So the music is slowing, or has the music stopped? I don't know. Either way, I like The Shiny. Thank you very much, Art, for supporting the channel. Mr. Four P's says, when this Buffett fella gonna spend his billions, it won't be Buffett. Buffett's out of there. His last buy was Google. That was like his last act. And I forget who it was that's taken over for him over at Berkshire, but they're still sitting on a big pile of cash. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking to my dad the other day when we were talking about his holdings and his position. And he, you know, he says, hey, you know, I'm so much in cash and then I'm so much in stocks. And I said, what stocks are you own? And one of them that he listed was Berkshire Hathaway. And I mentioned to him, well, keep in mind, if you own Berkshire Hathaway, effectively a third of that ownership is now in cash because Berkshire is sitting on so much freaking cash. So your cash position through Berkshire Hathaway is actually a little bigger. Something to keep in mind, guys, if you're wondering, should I be in cash or should I be in stocks? If you own Berkshire, you own both. I don't own Berkshire personally, so I don't have a horse in that race, but that's something to consider. And thank you very much. I don't know when he's going to spend his billions, but when Berkshire starts buying again, that will be indicative that the bottom is at least close. They haven't started that yet. And Nashville Pasta Man says, Jack, gas generators in space. Sure. Sure. Now, you might be saying to yourself, but Jack, doesn't combustion of natural gas also require oxygen and there's no atmosphere in space? That's just a trivial detail. What's the matter with you? Don't you have any vision? You just can't get behind the technology and the science. You just don't understand it. Yep, we're going to burn fuel in space. We just don't know where the hell we're going to get the air to do it. Oh, sure. We're just going to put one of those big liquid oxygen tanks like we had on a space shuttle. We'll just strap that to it and put that up in orbit because I hear it's really cheap to put things in orbit. Yeah, don't worry. And, you know, every time you need to change a battery or swap out a card, we'll just have to put an astronaut up into space. It's going to be great. We're going to save a lot of money doing that. In space. Thank you very much, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Robin Model says, is BOA really short 5.5 years worth of silver mining output? CME will start settling in cash soon. I don't know. I've heard this story that there's, you know, Bank of America has, it varies, 5.5 years worth of silver mining output. I doubt it. And look, banks never really make one giant bet like that. If they really do have a giant, like 5.5, I don't know how many million ounces or how many 100 million ounces that even is. If they have a giant short position that big, they have a long position somewhere else to offset that. Banks don't go out on leverage like that much in a single binary trade without hedging. It sounds like a great story, and I'm sure my Asian AI silver guy is saying something about that too. And, you know, he'll probably tell you a bank failed or something also. Just be careful, guys. There's a lot of BS floating around out there. But the whole, like, you know, banks are suppressing the price of silver thing, if that's really what they're doing, then they suck at it. Because I don't know if you noticed, but silver is $76 an ounce right now. Just saying. Thank you very much, Robin Model, for supporting the channel. MNJ741G says, congrats, Clueless Panther, on your New Year's baby. We have a baby Melonhead in the house. Where is it? Hold on. There we go. Yay! Welcome to the new baby Melonhead. Congratulations, Clueless Panther. Hope mom and baby are doing well. And best of luck to you and yours, sir. Happy New Year. Great way to start the year. Thanks again, M&J also. And Wiblin. Whoa, that's a big pink one. Thank you, Wiblin. 701. He says, thanks, Jack. You are the best news source. I try, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate the generosity and the support of the channel. And thank you for joining us this morning. Armando Reyes says, wet leather hurts. Hey, what you do in your own time, that's your business, brother. This is a family show. We're not going to go there. Don't make me take out my Janet. Sorry for that visual. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel, sir. MNJ741G says, once again, Happy New Year to all, and thank you for making the Melon Patch awesomeness. And I can't help but notice she's using that caps lock button. You probably made Mish twitch a little bit with that one there. But thank you so much, MNJ. I'm poking them this morning. I'm poking the mods just a little bit. Love you, mods. Thank you guys for everything you do for the channel. And thank you, MNJ. Happy New Year to you and your family as well. And the same to all of you melonheads out there. We have one more show before the end of the year, though. Don't be getting all premature on us, guys. We will be live tomorrow morning as well. And I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Thank you so much for all the generosity in the Super Chats and the new memberships. I really appreciate that, guys. Also, thank you to my magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below and all that good stuff, should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button. Don't forget that subscribe button. If you're new here, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Till next time, live small and dream big.